Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gays and grannies to this Sunday edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on chickenradio.com. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what's going on over here and the content that's being provided, please hit the donate button. I know that people running the stations would really appreciate that. I'm going to get into a political conversation with Mr. Dave Delisle today. He's the PPC candidate for Algoma, Manitoulin Island in Ontario. But before I get there, I just want to put a shout-out to the people in Florida and MacArthur with these people today with this hurricane. I'm looking at three or four different models, and hopefully it skirts the coast. Even skirting the coast, it's going to cause catastrophic damage, and if it hits land, we could possibly see a 4, even a 5 hit the coast, and that's almost unprecedented. It's going to be a bad one no matter what happens. So my prayers go to those folks today. One other thing I wanted to just mention real quick before I get Dave talking here is that one of the things I do follow a lot is earthquake activity on the planet. And the Fiji Islands just got hit with a 6.7 today, which was 600 kilometers deep. And I'm not going to get into this conversation, but we are seeing a major spike in activity on the Ring of Fire right now, and a 6.7 will reverberate and cause a 7 point or better across the planet in the next 6 or 7 days. So my head's up right now to the people on the Cascadia on the west coast of North America right now. We know that that earthquake, that subduction zone right now is very, very volatile in light of the 6.5 we had on that right on that fault line this week. But we're seeing some pretty crazy stuff go on, so just heads up, folks. Anyways, we're going to get into a political conversation today. And, you know, I dedicate a lot of my shows to a lot of different subjects, but right now my focus is on what's going on in my own country. I'm watching my country being destroyed. And, boy, I'll tell you, anybody that's paying attention to this right now is watching what's going on. If your blood isn't boiling right now, I don't know what to say to you. I've got Dave Delisle joining me today. Dave is a candidate for the PPC, like I said, in Algoma, Manitoulin Island in Ontario. And I'm going to ask Dave first why he got involved in the party and give him a little bit of a background on yourself there. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, first, I want to say my prayers and thoughts go out to the people in Florida and the people along the Ring of Fire because, yeah, there has been a lot of action there, and it's not going to get much better in the next few days. I'm sure there's going to be more, but I'm hoping that everything will be okay with Florida for sure. Because that's a dangerous hurricane, that one. But anyway, I got involved in politics. Basically, I've been involved my whole life following politics, and friends of mine ran for city council and town council and whatever and actually got in. So I got to learn a little bit about the political format there. And I've been involved with politics as far as sports and whatever go most of my life. And to make things better for kids playing sports. And politics is basically politics. You get into the big leagues with where we're at now, with Trudeau, and it's all it is big kids, realistically, that want to throw their weight around. And for me, I'm a patriot first. My country is important. Our people are important. We need to take care of our people and our country before we can help anybody else. And I got involved with the PPC because the platform that the PPC is running on is something that I, as a patriot, can support. I was a conservative at one time. I was a card-carrying conservative. And I just don't agree with where they went. They went to the left, and I cannot support that position. I've read Andrew Scheer's platform, and Andrew Scheer's platform is full of holes. There's so many things that are omitted in his platform that should be spelled out crystal clear. He's flip-flopping, and I just can't support that. So I went to the PPC because I can't even watch all
that anymore. I can't even watch the guy talk anymore, Dave, because he's so, so phony. What you're getting with Andrew Scheer is just a conservative globalist, and what you're getting with Justin Trudeau is a liberal globalist. But there's absolutely, if you really look at the platform of the Conservative Party, like you said, they're so wishy-washy on issues that are really, really pertinent right now with Canadians. it's just unbelievable that people would even consider supporting this guy. I want to talk about the platform of the PPC, because that's really what's garnished my attention to the party, is that everything I see in the platform, and I've looked at pretty well every issue that he talks about, what's really bothering Canadians right now, is covered in the platform. And everything I see in there, and I'm not the sharpest tool in the garage, but everything I see in there makes absolute common sense, coming from the standpoint of a patriotic Canadian. I'm an old stock Canadian. I've been in this country all my life, and I want it to be the way I grew up when my kids are my age, and it's not going to be that way. We're going to stop this madness right now, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. It's just crazy where the government's taken us. I mean, it started realistically. I mean, for me, I think Pierre Trudeau started the whole ball of wax. I know that things were put in place prior to him, but realistically, that's where things started. And it seems like since that point, we've moved further and further towards a communist country. And now with Mr. Trudeau, with JT, we're moving now to an Islamist-type country with Sharia laws and things to that effect that go completely against what our cultural values are.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the policies that are in place, like bringing ISIS and that back, Andrew Scheer really doesn't say much about that. Andrew Scheer doesn't say that he'll rescind M103, or he doesn't say that he's going to ban Sharia laws. And I know, I mean, I sent him an actual message and asked him these questions, and all I got was an angry face and blocked in response. So Andrew Scheer has proven to me that he's basically a mini Trudeau.
Well, if you really want to talk about where it all started, you were correct when you said that. Because Pierre Elliott Trudeau, if you look into his history and anybody's looked at him, we'll find out that he was in the League of Nations, that he was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, that he attended Bilderberg meetings. And I looked into him a little bit farther, and as far as I can see, he attended, actually he was at the Bohemian Grove in, I forget what year it is, I was looking into his background. But anybody who looks into Pierre Elliott Trudeau will find out that his background speaks volumes for where we are right now in Canada.
Oh, absolutely.
The seeds of multiculturalism. You know, my family came here as immigrants, but my family came here with the understanding that nothing was going to be given to them. If they came to Canada, they were going to assimilate to our culture, take our values, and run with them, and you had to work for what you get. And that has been so turned upside down now by the Liberal governments and the governments before the Liberal governments started all this agenda now unfolding. The good thing is, Dave, I'm really seeing a shift in people's thinking. Really starting.
Oh, I am too. I am too, believe it or not. I've had actually people come to me that have voted Liberal in the past and said, look, we can't support the Liberals anymore. We will not support the Conservatives. So tell us a little more about your platform. So when we get into it, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, okay, you got my vote. Because most people seem to be more concerned right now with the open borders, mass immigration. Immigration is great. They're okay with immigration. But let's vet these people properly. Let's bring people that are actually coming here to work with us, not to change us, but to work with us, that are going to assimilate to our culture. I had a great deal of respect, and I still have a great deal of respect for Salim Mansour. He spoke up when he was a conservative against the Islamization of Canada and said, hey, these people should be assimilating to our culture, to Canadian culture, like everybody else has. Why are they coming in and changing it? Well, then Andrew Scheer gets rid of him. Why? Because he spoke up. And this crap, I believe in free speech. I believe in freedom of expression, absolutely. Because you can't have a debate unless you have this as a principal item. And all the Liberals do is they start name-calling. The minute you start telling them truth, they start name-calling you. The minute you speak out against Islamization, they start name-calling you. You're a racist. You're this. You're not. You know what? Canada is not about a racist country. It's not a racist country. Never has been. In reality, we accept people from all different cultures because they come here to get a better life for themselves and to work with us to achieve the goal of freedom. And now with the globalization, it's not that way anymore. Now, there's countries that are sending their criminals over here because they don't want to deal with them. And what's Trudeau doing? He's letting them in. The ISIS, these guys should all be in prison at least.
Yeah, I read all kinds of reports on the people that are actually coming into our country. And, of course, you know and I know, Dave, that none of this information is ever put forward to the Canadian public through our communist broadcasting station.
Right.
But the amount of people that are actually coming into Canada right now that are going through a proper vetting process, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it's shocking. It is absolutely shocking that these people are coming to upstate New York and claiming asylum. They're coming from one of the safest countries in the world and simply walking into Canada and claiming asylum. And the backlog now, folks, on the asylum claims to be heard, the last number I looked at was 4 years before your asylum claim will be heard. So these people are vetting our immigration system, are absolutely skirting our immigration system, walking into our country, claiming asylum. All of a sudden, the next day, they get a welfare check from the government. They get a place to live. They get clothing allowances. They get free medical and dental. Well, I say to folks, so wait a second. What am I missing here? I've been in Canada all my life, and I have contributed to this system. I don't get free medical. I don't get free dental. But these people are skirting our immigration laws, making a joke out of it. The whole world is looking at this right now going, hey, all we got to do is get to the border in Canada. The next day we're in there, we're getting a welfare check from the government. I mean, what am I missing here, folks?
And what makes it...
about it, Dave. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But what makes it even worse, Barry, is these people... Canada is our home. And if you think of it as your actual physical home itself, you don't just let anybody into your house to come in and tell you how you're going to run your house or what you're allowed to like or dislike because that offends them. I'm sorry. It's my house. My rules. Simple. Because if you don't like it, there's the door. That's simple.
Yep.
And I don't like the fact that these immigrants are coming in. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, some of them are actually immigrants that need help. And I'm good with that. But the majority of these people that are coming in, they're getting into these high-end hotels that we're paying for. They're destroying them. They have no respect for our home. They just come in and treat things as if, well, you know what, we can do whatever we want. Well, you can't. There's rules no matter where you go.
Yep.
And if you're going to destroy the things that we're paying for, you don't deserve to be in our country. You haven't earned our respect. And you have no respect for us by doing that.
Absolutely. You know, it's all part of an agenda. Of course, you know and I know how deep the agenda is, Dave. Anybody that's really paying attention, you know it's the same thing going on in every country in the world where the existing culture is being undermined and destroyed. And that's what's happening in our country.
Ironically, no media will report on it.
Well, they're not reporting on it because the media in this country, just like CNN and all the other mainstream medias around the world, are completely controlled. So the only way you're getting this information, if you want to find out what we're talking about, you have to go to alternative sources. And luckily, there's more of those jumping up every day now. I see more and more people getting involved, wanting their voice heard. Okay? So that's a good thing, but they are coming down on us harder now. And in the next couple months, I think it's really going to shock people just how much our freedom of speech is being taken away from us.
But all of our even our social media is being controlled now. They're changing history and putting all this information that's false information in replacing our actual histories to make it look different than what has actually happened. And us older people, I mean, I'm 56. I'll be 57 in a couple months. I mean, I've lived through a lot of this stuff. I see the things that have happened since I was a kid. I've been following politics. And it's just things need to change back. And people are being murdered all over the world. And it's okay as long as you're a Christian, for example. There's nothing mentioned But if you even say something about the Islamists and whatever, oh, you're a bad guy, you're a racist. Well, you know what? Reality is, if, let's be fair here across the board. There's either one set of laws for all, or there's none.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, they still talk about Christchurch and the 49 Muslims that were massacred. But you know, you're not hearing nothing anymore about Bali. And the people that were slaughtered there, I forget the exact number of Christians that were slaughtered, but we see Christians being slaughtered all over this planet right now, and you Africa. Hear Christians from mainstream media. But it's all part of a massive agenda. And really, until people start going down the rabbit hole, they, you know, some of the stuff we might talk about sometimes sounds really crazy, but it's not. You really have to do your own research and start looking into some of this stuff and ask yourself some really hard questions. I got a million of them right now for Justin Trudeau.
Well, absolutely. And the irony of the whole thing is the fact that people who used to be known as conspiracy theorists are now truth tellers. It's because these things are that these guys have been supposedly making up as a conspiracy theory. You're seeing more and more truth in it.
We could go back 20 years ago when people were talking about stuff that was going to happen today. And now we see it unfolding in front of us. Back then, we called them nutcases. I mean, we can make examples of that. Even in my own community, you know, I used to go into West Point Rentals. It's a shop here in Terrace. And every time I go in here, they say, here comes the guy with the tinfoil hat. Because I was talking to them about 4, 5, 6 years ago about the events of 9/11 and stuff that was coming. And they'd call me crazy, but they're not calling us crazy anymore. I notice it in general conversations that people are really starting to pay attention.
And, you know, the majority of these people are actually nationalists. They're not anything other than...
just not informed. They really don't have a grip on what's going on in the country. They see the superficial stuff, but they really don't have a grip on what's going on in Canada right now. But that being said, Dave, what's going on with this government here in the last 4 or 5 months with SNC, with Mark Norman, with the dismissal of Judy Wilson-Raybould, with everything else that's gone on with this government? The corruption is multiple layers of corruption. You could even
look at Scheer. A good example again is Scheer, what he did to Cooper.
It's unbelievable.
Silenced him, and then he voted with Trudeau to strike that from the record. All it was the manifesto that showed that it was the left that instigated this.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things that you can't separate. People want to separate. Oh, well, Scheer's not Trudeau, and Mr. Singh isn't Trudeau. And what, you know what? They all have their own agenda, and it's not about Canada. And that's the change. The attitude in this country. People believe wholeheartedly that they've been watching wars going on in other countries for years, and that'll never happen in Canada. And they have that so ingrained in their head that they're not realizing that it's coming.
People don't realize that Canada could fall apart in a whim, that we could literally have one event happen in Canada. And, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot on radio is false flags and the effect on public. And really, if you want to talk about it, maybe go down this rabbit hole just a little bit. We could literally be turned upside down in 24 hours in this country simply by the collapse of the dollar. So
absolutely.
I do, because, you know, that is something I'm a firm believer that we are going to see a collapse. The monetary systems, I've studied them for years. I'm not an expert on anything, but I've had people on that I have a great deal of respect for as far as their intel on our economic systems in the world.
I believe it. I absolutely do. I've seen it myself.
We're one pushing
the button. There.
Yeah. People don't realize that they control the money, so they control the power. And when they want to turn us upside down and they want to bring society back into a complete paradigm of control, all they have to do is collapse the monetary system that we're an illusion to believe that we're using today and is stable. Go ahead.
And that's absolutely true. And again, like I said, for me, well, being a patriot, I do see this stuff, and I try to tell people, and I look at it this way. You know what? I'll talk to people for as long, you know, 15, 20 minutes. If they're interested in actually hearing the truth, you'll know in that amount of time. I mean, you can usually tell in the first couple of minutes. But the reality is, if they don't want to
I think we lost Dave there for a second or something.
Dave,
oh. Are you there?
Yeah.
Turn your video off.
I just had to stop a call coming in.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's people will listen, but not everybody will. And it's unfortunate that a lot of people are turning a blind eye to what the reality of the things are, the situation is, and the gravity of the situation. But you can't help those that don't want to be helped. You have to move on.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are never going to wake up, Dave. Unfortunately, in our society, there's so many people that are entwined in the matrix that no matter how much information is given to them, they're going to stand inside that matrix. And someone will die to protect it. And that might sound cool, but it's not. Those people we won't reach, but there is right now, I see in Canada, a wave rising in this country of people that are true nationalists that are starting to realize that what we're dealing with is something that's so nefarious that it's really representing a threat to their future, and they're getting involved. So now is the time to really put the pedal to the metal, and that's why, like I said to the party here, for the next couple months, folks, I am going to be talking about politics in Canada. I normally talk about a lot of different things on my shows, but this is something that I'm going to focus my attention on. Next week, I've got a couple other PC candidates coming up. In the following week, I'm going to be hearing a cross-reference from people across this country, what is really pissing them off. Excuse my language. Go ahead, Dave.
I can tell you right now, I have several vets that are on my Facebook page. And, I mean, these are WW2 vets. And they themselves believe that there will be a war in this country because there has to be. And our vets, these guys, I have an uncle who was killed in the Dieppe raid. He didn't die for nothing. He died for our freedom. And these vets, they all know what it's about. They know where we're going, and they don't like it. Mm. And it's unfortunate, but when they believe themselves that there's going to be a war in this country, and they know war better than anybody else,
mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with the people that won't listen to them.
Yeah, you know, I ask myself a lot of time why the mass majority of Canada can't wake up, and there's a lot of reasons why that's happening. But I've said this many times here in the last couple of weeks from my conversations with people and social media, I see an incredible rise of awareness in Canada, and I'm just hoping those people have enough intestinal fortitude to get involved, because that's what it's going to take right now to turn this around.
Absolutely. And our vets, these guys earn the right to be taken care of. I mean, we owe them more than we can ever repay them. Why do we have vets on the street? Why are they not getting what they need? Why is our regular military not getting what they need? These guys are defending us. We should be giving them everything and more.
Well, why is the RCMP not criminally charged Justin Trudeau? There's a million-dollar question. We are supposed to be... By law.
Part of that, yeah, they should be. But part of that has to do with the fact that Trudeau's got these people in place that are controlled by him. But part of it, too, is, well, what's the majority of the RCMP doing? They're baggage handlers, glorified baggage handlers at the border. That's ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you real quick here. I got a friend here in town that I played hockey with all winters in RCMP. And he's got a family. And he's pulled me aside, buddy, and had a couple heart-to-hearts with me. And I've never had an heart-to-heart with an RCMP officer in my life. But he says, and this is his quote, man, word verbatim, that every member that he talks to in his detachment are absolutely disgusted with what they see going on in the upper-level management of the RCMP. His word verbatim, and I'm not going to say his name. But this guy's torn right now between what he took his job on to do and what he sees going on in the upper levels of the RCMP. They've been corrupted to the core. You only need to look at who was appointed as the commissioner of the RCMP and look at her ties to her back ties to the Liberal Party. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I'll tell you something else. I believe that these people in these positions of power should be tried for treason, because they're not doing the things that they should be doing. Now, I think personally that a guy like Tom Quiggin should be put in charge of the RCMP and all the intelligence stuff. Oh, and he can pick the people he wants to weed out these crooks. Because that's what they are. They're corrupt. Our military is the same way. Our military is the same way. Half of the all the guys in the lower ranks of the military are pissed off with Trudeau and the upper echelon. Why? Well, because these guys were over in these other countries fighting, and their buddies were dying, fighting ISIS, and now ISIS is coming here to join them? Yeah, I don't think that's a good mix.
Wait a second. We're going to teach them poetry, and we're going to teach them how to draw.
Yeah.
And they'll assimilate back to our culture. Don't worry about it, folks. There's nothing to worry about.
The ISIS guys need to be lined up on a wall.
Yeah. Let's remind about the one statement Justin Trudeau made about his Syrian refugee program in 2016, is that I will definitely be held accountable for any harm that comes to any Canadian because of this program. Well, let's talk to the parents of Maria Shen. Or let's talk to the people on the Danforth that lost their lives. Let's talk about the 42 pounds of carfentanil that was found in the basement of one of these Syrian refugees and what their intentions are in this country.
And the bomb-making equipment and all these other things that have gone on that doesn't come out in the media, and or they put their little twist on it to make it all nice and smell rosy. That's ridiculous. It all needs to be stopped. And the only party that can stop it, realistically, is the PPC. Because we, the majority of the guys that are in the People's Party, are patriots. Some of us don't have as much experience as others in politics and that, but you know what? Nobody going into politics has knowledge of every single thing that works.
Absolutely. Well, we just saw Billy Joyce get on board, and I got to welcome him to the party, because I'll tell you, he is a very intelligent gentleman.
And, yes, he is.
Yeah, I've actually, folks are going to have Billy Joyce on with me next week, and he's going to co-host my show for 2 hours. So I'm looking forward to that. What really attracts me to this party is the diversity of the people that are involved, the cultures that are involved, that are all saying the exact thing, that what we have in Canada is worth fighting for and protecting. And if you call this a racist party, man, look at the people that are getting involved, and then look at the levels of intelligence of the people that are getting involved. You don't have Catherine McKenna's. You don't have these bimbos, and that's what I'm going to call a lot of the people in our parliament, because they are their bimbos. Put into incredible positions of power. The people that are joining the party, I find, are people of great intelligence. That speaks volumes to me, Dave.
Well, I listen, it does to me as well. And you know what? I'm not in perfect health, but you know what? I'm a patriot, and I believe in Canada, and I believe Canada can be great again. And I want to do everything I possibly can to make sure that happens. And
we're in the fight for our life, folks.
I believe wholeheartedly that a guy like Salim Mansour is an added bonus to the People's Party of Canada.
What is he ever?
Shear tossed him. Because when Shear tossed him because he spoke out against the Islamists. He's a Muslim, and he believes that you should. He believes in the people that came here from other Muslim countries that came here to escape the radical ideology, and they want no part of that. They're I guess middle of the road Muslims, and that's fine. I am okay. I accept people that accept me, but I don't and won't ever accept somebody coming into my country or home telling me how my home is going to be run. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
It just isn't going to happen. And this is the way that these people think too. The moderate Muslims think that way too. You know what? We came here. We respect the culture here. We're going to work with these people. Yeah, our religious faith is our own. And that's fine. Everybody has their own faith. I'm good with that.
Right.
We don't have the we're going to change your country to be like the one we left attitude, because that's not why they came here. But now the Islamists and ISIS, anybody that thinks that they're even remotely going to change their attitude and their ideology, they're crazier than the ISIS people.
Unfortunately, our system allows for these people to take advantage of loopholes that should never be in our system, but they've figure them all out, and they use them to the max. And, yeah, Mr. Mansoor is absolutely a gold chip for the party. If people really sit down and listen to what that man has to say, his knowledge of radical Islam is unmatched, I believe, in Canada. Yes. And if he gets his voice heard and people really start to listen to the message this man is putting out, I think it'll shock a lot of people, because a lot of people in this country are still asleep to what's going on. He is absolutely a gold chip. One of the other people that I really admire is Frank Vaughn. I mean, the videos that man has done in the last couple of years, I just absolutely applaud him. I had him on last week. I just love the gentleman to death. He's very, very intelligent.
Mark Friesen's another one.
He's in it for the same reason, guys. Laurel and Thompson. Go listen to
Laurel and Thompson. Yeah.
Go listen to what he has to say. It all makes common sense. Everything about the party is coming from a common sense approach, and I don't see that anywhere else in politics. And like I said, you know what, Dave, I never thought I would get behind a party like I am right now, but we're in for the fight of our life right now, folks. This is a do or die situation, because if we get
these uphill battles.
Yeah, if we get the same people in power for the next 4 years, you'll see Alberta separate from the rest of Canada. You'll see the country break up. You'll see us fall into a complete and total dictatorship. We're almost there now, believe it or not. People have this illusion that we're free. Well, you're free to go to work, pay your taxes, and shut up. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, see, here too is another thing that I think is amazing. The more the liberals try to push us, and I mean, that's the liberal left complete, including Scheer, the more they try to push us away so that we can't get into, say, things like the monk debates and whatever, it may not be the press we want, but it's press that's making people think, well, why don't they want these people? Let's look into why. And then people start reading our platform and looking at the information, and they're saying, well, now I understand. Well, yeah, I support them. And if we had positive media attention from the regular media, I think that we'd be 50 points ahead of anybody else.
I agree, Dave. I've looked at independent polls, you know, outside of mainstream media polls, of course, and anything that you look at an independent poll will show this party gaining popularity, and some of them just blow my mind. So, you know, I think we're going to see a change in politics in the next election. I'm praying for that, my friend, because if we keep going down this path we are on right now, we look at the destruction this government's caused in this country in the last 4 years alone. If we take another 4 years of that, Canada will not be recognizable in the next 4 years.
Look at what the polls, for some reason the conservatives like looking at polls. I believe that the polls are a joke, and they always have been. They're never accurate. You need to look at the fact that the people that are coming to the People's Party came from somewhere. A lot of them came from the conservatives, because the conservatives are not conservative anymore. And it seems that as of late, with Mr. Scheer opening his pie hole, all he's doing is proving our point. Mm. Now, the left, everybody knows Mr. Singh isn't going to get in. They're looking for an option. Now, the people that vote NDP won't vote conservative. The people that vote liberal won't vote conservative, but they won't vote liberal either now. What other party do they have? I've had people come to me that said, listen, I've never voted before in my life because I didn't believe in either the liberals or the conservatives. But we believe in your party, so we're going to vote.
Absolutely, Dave. I urge people, Canadian listeners are listening right now, and I know I have some people out there in Canada listening right now, I urge you just go look at the platform party and read it. Just take a couple hours and actually read what this party is proposing. And if you do that, and you approach this with a common sense attitude, you'll see that, like I said, everything on the platform, and I've read 99% of it, is an absolute common sense approach to stopping some of the madness you see right now and starting to fix the damage done.
Absolutely. See, for me, I voted for Bernier all the way through the conservative elections. I believe Bernier got screwed. I really do.
Oh, absolutely. It was rigged. We know that.
And that's what because happened. He left, you get all these conservatives saying, well, you know, he lost this and he's the guy that was causing grief and he only left because he was mad. No, he left because he didn't agree with the platform.
Absolutely.
And the direction they were going.
Yeah, no,
and
shoot.
all the things that they use as arguments are, well, you know, when he was with the conservatives, he voted for this, or he was visiting this person or that person. That's because he was working for them and was told to go and do this. Where's the problem? You tell your boss, well, you know, I don't think I want to do what you're telling me, so I just won't do that. You can't do that. I mean, if it's something that's going to harm you physically or something, yeah, well, that's different. But the reality is, you do what you're told when you work for a company or any organization. It's no different with the Conservative Party or the Liberals. The difference now with the PPC, and Max has even said it himself, you people are all entitled to your own opinion. You vote how you want. I believe in free speech. I believe in freedom of expression. You vote your conscience, and nobody else has that.
Yeah,
Not a little bit.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of talking to Max one day for about a half an hour, and I absolutely shot from the hip about everything I saw going on in Canada right now. And I honestly felt the man listened to everything I said and made some very positive responses to what I had to say. He also listened to some of the solutions that I see for environmental problems in the country. And that seemed to spark a lot of his attention when I started talking a little bit about industrial hemp and some of the other things we can do to offset some of the effects we see on our environment. And he was very, very open to that. He actually, when I got talking today to him about industrial hemp, he wasn't aware of some of the things I talked about. And I sent him to a site, and he emailed me back. He emailed me back and said that he'd gone to the site and was very, very impressed with the information. So I think the guy's open to just about anything that's going to make a difference in Canada. And that's a broad spectrum, because we talk about the political problems we got, but we've got a major pile of environmental problems happening. And he's got an open ear to that. So that kind of impressed me. Go ahead.
Well, look at what Mr. Scheer has done. What he told the people in Quebec, he was going to fight the pipelines, and then he goes into Alberta and he's telling the people, yeah, we're going to go and push the pipelines forward. Okay, so which is it? It's one or the other? It's not both.
Well, it's whatever the flavor of the day is, man. You know that.
Okay, today, but the reality is Max isn't doing that. Max has told the people in Quebec, and they don't like some of the things that Max has said, especially when it comes to the transfer payments. The people in Quebec are pissed about that. But you know what? That's too damn bad.
Yeah. Well, but maybe
he chose a position.
Absolutely. I've looked at that issue. I've looked at multiple issues. And really, like I said, what he's saying makes common sense. But he is going to rock the apple cart. That's why they want to keep him out of the debates. I mean,
absolutely.
They appoint David Johnson. He was a former attorney general for Ontario, now holds his own foundation called, I forget the name of the foundation, but they received $3 million from the Liberal government with a promise of $7 million more, and this is the guy that's laying down the criteria for the national debates in Canada. They're trying to keep Max out of there. You know what, Dave, if Max gets into the national debates and people hear the message, I honestly believe he will be the next Prime Minister of Canada, because I can see that with...
So do I.
So...
And so do I.
Well,
funny part is that we all know, anybody that's a patriot knows what the deal is. I mean, it's a question of, you have two choices. It's globalism or nationalism. And we're the only party that stands for our country. We are the only nationalist party. Scheer can say he's nationalist and whatever, but his platform spells globalists. The fact that he's got these three questionable people in his inner circle, it should be a red flag to everybody. Hmm. Plus, with what Tom Quiggin has stated about this, I mean, you have to look at the big picture. M103 is not going to go away. He's not going to ban Sharia law. I mean, really, where does that put Scheer? It doesn't put him anywhere near centrist.
Well,
it puts him to the left.
One only has to look at the meeting he had with those two high-ranking moms and look into their history and look what they represent. And here you have Andrew Scheer sitting at a table pandering to him. I mean, that speaks business, man. Andrew Scheer, He's just another globalist. He was selected to run the Conservative Party. If you look at the Conservative Party election, he lost by 0.5 percentage point, and that was after 13 ballots, and all of a sudden, 8,700 votes disappeared, I think it was. 8,700 was the number I read.
And then they're destroyed before there can be a recount.
Well, she was selected.
Yeah.
Of course.
And the dealing that he made with the dairy cartel, well, there's a problem there. Because now Canadians are having issues with not being able to afford milk and dairy for their kids and poultry. Well, I mean, come on now. You go to the States, you can buy a dozen eggs for 99 cents. Why do you want to pay $6 or $5 for a dozen eggs here? Where's the sense in that?
Why are we buying oil from Saudi Arabia when we have more oil than we'll ever need in Canada? Why? Why is that going on? I mean, we could go down a list and we could talk about 50 issues right now that make no sense. But they're going on. Go ahead.
Do you remember when Petro-Canada was first brought into Canada and into existence, what they were saying?
Yeah. Well,
it's Canadian oil. It's going to be cheaper gas for Canadians. And, well, when is that ever going to happen?
Yeah, right. Now you got Bill 669 passed. Bill C-69 went to our parliament. They're going to shut it all down, folks. You know what? Yeah. People don't think this is affecting their lives. Well, I'm going to tell you, in the very, very near future, it's going to affect your life. Because the ripple down destruction of our economy we're going to see going on in Canada is going to impact you all very, very near, in the very, very near future. Very near future. And if this government continues where they are, we're going to be a third world country in 3 years.
It's going to happen unless we change it now. Everybody's, believe it or not, I've heard a lot of things from conservatives where, you know, Max is actually the guy that we need to vote for. But we got to get Trudeau out of there, so we have to vote Scheer this time because we know that'll get him out. Well, if you vote for Max, it's going to get that idiot out anyway.
Yeah, we hear that a lot.
The logic is just ridiculous.
It is.
Get your head out of your ass and think. Sorry.
I agree. It's really comes down to, are people going to take enough time in their lives to sit down and look at the differences between the parties and rationalize in their own minds what's going on in this country right now? I say to people, that's the most important 3 or 4 hours that you can spend right now. Because so many people are still kind of like, you know, we know there's something bad going on in government, but you know what? There's been bad stuff going on in government all my life, so it's just part of daily business. But this is different. This is, right now we're in a situation where we could fundamentally see Canada change, and if we get to that point, there will be no return. Go ahead.
We have people on the streets. We have people on the streets. We have seniors on the streets because they can't afford to live. Trudeau's taking our pension, and it's our money. He's taking it away from us to give to other people in other countries. And he has no right to do that. This is money that people earned their whole life working.
Absolutely.
And now he's taking it away from them. And we've got these people living on the streets. They're living on the streets. We've got people that, I mean, they should never be on the streets. We have people that live on the streets. We have people that are in hotels that are destroying our hotels, have no care in the world about us or what happens to us. And in fact, you hear a lot of them saying how much they hate us because we're racists and all this other crap, which is nonsense. Why can't we make a switch? You people don't like it. Get out. There's the door. We need this space for our people. We need to take care of our people, the seniors, the vets, people on the streets. We need to take care of these people. And with our platform, we do that.
We take care
of our people. We need to get rid of these sanctuary cities. That's a joke.
It's a joke. We have the fastest growing population of homeless people in the world right now. Did you know that, Dave?
Yeah.
The last numbers I read, and I tried to vet these numbers to get accurate figures, but they're saying we have 1 million people homeless in Canada now. And I'm going, what are you? And I tried to vet it and make sure that it was correct. And as far as I can see, those numbers are correct. But we're living in the richest country in the world. We shouldn't be paying taxes. We should be getting a check from the government every month. We are getting raped and pillaged in ways that people have no idea what's going on, Dave. But we're going to wake them up, buddy. And if Maxine we have a chance to save this country.
What's funny, what I find funny is I live in, my riding is Algoma, Manitoulin, and Kappa's Casing, and it's northern Ontario. Last winter, January, we had like 60 below for a week or a week and a half, and it was 50 below for another week or week and a half. We have people on the streets that are going to freeze one night in that. Okay, the problems that we're having with this stuff, and our governments, current governments, they don't care about any of these people.
I do.
Because these are people. I mean, animals are treated better than people in this country. And that's ridiculous.
Yeah, how did we get here, Dave? Well, it didn't happen overnight. It's been done
slowly over time.
Yeah, incrementally, slowly over time. They take a little here, take a little there, and all of a sudden they get a big piece of it, and people are starting
to wake up. The indoctrination of our children a little bit over time until now. Well, we got to the point we're at now where now we're raising pansies.
We're zombie apocalypse, man.
Absolutely. And the worst part is Trudeau's got nothing to worry about if there's ever a zombie apocalypse because they eat brains, so Trudeau's safe.
It's funny, when they released that movie, man, everybody laughed, and, you know, they called it entertainment, eh? But they have this funny habit of putting things in front of our faces 15 years before they actually come to fruition. And now we see that thing in our society, man. People are zombies, man. You ask them a question, they're stuck for an answer.
Ironically, they've got the deer zombie or something disease that's going through animals in the wild now.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And it's an interesting thing, but that's another story, but still.
There's about 800 things I could talk about right now that I see that are just too weird to even begin to explain, but we don't have time to do that. But we are seeing some pretty weird stuff going on right now.
Well, yeah.
We could talk about any aspect of life right now. It seems to be getting weirder by the day. So, what's going to happen tomorrow?
it actually is getting weirder by the day. And the funny thing with people is that I've spoken to some people that are actually still going to vote for the Liberals because they believe in the Liberal, whatever it is, agenda. And I ask them why. And most of the things that they say make no sense. And I tell them, well, don't you like having freedom of speech, freedom of expression? Do you think the Canadians should be taken care of? Oh, they agree with all the points that I make. Well, then why would you vote Liberal? But they are. They just, well, we have to. Well, okay, I guess. You don't have to, but there's people you won't change their mind no matter what.
Yeah, a lot of people have voted conservative or liberal all their life, and they're stuck in that paradigm, and they really don't take the time to look at the implications of what's going on. Of course, if they get their information from CBC or CTV or Global, they'll never really get a gist for what's going on. So I urge people, the best thing you can do right now is to cut the cable line coming into your house. That's step one. And I did that about 5 years ago, Dave, and that was the best move I ever made in my life.
That's more accurate. Watch the cartoons, Bugs Bunny and that. That's a little more accurate nowadays.
Well, they don't call it programming for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. They don't, yes.
They've done it for a lot of years, and they're very effective at it. The stuff they use that we don't even know about, they have perfected. So get rid of the TV. Start doing your own research. And I tell people, when you start looking at something that kind of disturbs you, take a little time to try and vet that information. And there's pretty easy ways to vet information. I try and get to the source, and I try and find out if the source is a reliable, reputable source, nonpartisan, outside of my country. I tend to listen to those kind of reports outside of somebody talking on YouTube about something that can't back up the reports. So there is ways to check your information out, and I urge people to do that.
Well, I'll tell you, I get a lot of information about what's actually going on overseas in Europe and whatever from guys that are actually Yellow Vest people overseas. Because they're not – it's the reality of the thing. It's not pretend that the CNN or whatever is going to show you, because they won't show you any of this stuff. They'll just make it – oh, hey, listen, all these streets are safe. You can walk down these streets, but if you go there, it's a war zone.
You don't hear about anything that's really going on in Germany, France, Sweden, Denmark, nope. Italy. There's a media block. You hear a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you hear
that's
a little
bit.
That's
why you got to count on the people that are there.
Yeah.
And putting it out, putting it out independently.
People don't realize France is virtually on the verge of a civil war right now, but you'll never hear that on mainstream, ever. Same thing.
They're fighting in the streets. To take their streets back.
Well, yeah. It's been taken over and given away by governments that have no concern about their citizens that are working for their agenda. Of course, the goal of the agenda is to undermine the culture and the civilization that you're invading, and that is very effective at it. We see it going on in Europe, and the same thing's going to happen here, folks, if we don't put a stop to it.
How many people in North America alone are against child marriages? It's pedophilia. I don't care how you slice it or you say it's a legal thing or whatever. You can say whatever you want, but that's what it is.
Well,
how many people, wrong.
How many people are against female genital mutilation? And that is going on in our society right now as we talk. Does that not disturb you?
Well, I mean, absolutely. But they don't believe.
What happens to your granddaughter when she's 10 years old and these people are in power? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, there's no go zones. There really are no go zones in Canada. But it's not talked about at all, and people say, prove it to me. Well, how can you prove something? I mean, people know that they're there, but they're afraid to speak up, because if they speak up, oh, my God, what's going to happen to them?
You're an Islamophobic bigot, racist.
Absolutely.
Get with the program. This is the new way. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
It is pathetic. It really is.
And Ikra Khalid bringing the M103 thing, or sneaking it in, we'll say, was one of the biggest problems that the liberal government's created. Because now these people are, everything is an excuse to say, oh, you're a racist. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but this is not the way it works in this country. And a lot of people. Getting notifications.
Yeah, we're
a lot of people. I'm a popular guy. I don't know.
Well, my Skype has been going in and out on this show. They're kind of really messing with my feed, and so I've got a couple of things you've said I've actually missed because it go for 3 or 4 seconds and come back. So they probably don't like what we're talking about, Dave. But these are conversations that we have to have. That these conversations we had in this hour here are absolutely imperative right now in our society, and the way they're stopping us from communicating, the way they're breaking down our freedom of speech, how they're stopping us from expressing our feelings to each other, is something that we could talk about that for another hour. But it's going on, and it's all the earmarks of a total fascist society, and that's what we want in the future. We're already
look at the fact. You can't even preach the gospel on the streets.
Yeah.
You can preach the Quran.
In Canada.
Yeah, in Canada. People are being arrested for preaching the gospel, for crying out loud.
Hold on. Are we in Nazi Germany here, buddy?
Yeah, I would think so.
Well, hey, Mark,
unbelievable.
Read the Mein Kampf and you'll see exactly, almost verbatim, to what's going on in our society right now. Large people.
Well,
go ahead. And you'll go, huh? Well, it worked back then. It's working now.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And what bothers me the most about it is people are just not seeing this. The writing is on the wall, but apparently it's not in their language or something.
Well, Dave, all we can do is keep talking and keep talking and keep talking, and people are starting to listen, and I'm down to the last couple minutes of this first hour. So before I book you out for the hour here, Dave, plug your writing and where people can get in touch with you and any contact information you want to share with the public right now, and I'll have to shut out the first hour here. Mark Friesen coming up next.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks. Yeah, my writing is Algoma Manitoulin Kapus Casing. And people can contact me. I have a Facebook page, the People's Party of Canada page, under my name. And if they want to contact me, they can contact me there.
Cool. Okay, well, Dave, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I know by talking to you that you've got a great heart and you're in this for all the right reasons. And all I can say, buddy, is the wave is growing, and I think this wave is going to drown all these evil, corrupt people that are running this country.
My friend. Absolutely.
Thanks for joining me, buddy.
All right, thank you. You have a great day. And okay, thanks folks. To all the people that are listening.
Okay. Thanks, folks. I'll be back in a couple minutes, folks, with Mark Friesen. Mark is, to me, one of the gold chips in this party right now, and we're going to talk about Islam in Canada. So stay tuned, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes or so, 4 minutes, maybe five. Welcome back to second hour, folks, and thanks to Dave for joining me. Great conversation, Dave. I'm joined in the second hour here by Mark Friesen. Mark is PPC candidate for Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, correct? I hope I have that right, Mark.
Yeah, bang on.
Yeah, we're going to get into Mark is, I'll call him one of the gold chips in the party. I've listened to a lot of things he said. I've listened to quite a few of your videos, and I find him to be a very intelligent man, well informed on the radical Islam factor that's invading our government in Canada. And I wanted to talk to Mark a little bit about that in the second hour here, because it's something that greatly disturbed me, the mechanisms they use to infiltrate our government and how much control we actually have in our government at this point that people aren't aware of. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I greatly appreciate it. I take advantage of any platform that's given to me.
Well, I'm just a little guy out here speaking his mind.
Yeah, I hear you, and that's good. We need more of it, so that's fantastic.
So what got you involved in the party, Mark?
Well, you know, it's a bit of a long answer, but I'll try to be as brief as possible. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm a conservative at heart. I've been conservative, small c conservative, most of me, well, all of my voting life, I guess. And the first and last federal party that I was a member of was the Reform. And unfortunately, due to, you know, people wanting to get power, the Reform had to bend in order to gain power. So that was turned into the Alliance, and then Harper took over as leader, and then at some point, 2003 or 2004, I think it was, Harper merged with the Red Tories, the Mulroney Tories, and that was pretty much the beginning of the end. You know, of course, I still had to support the Conservatives because it was the only option we had. They were the lesser of two evils. And so, you know, it was what it was. Harper got in power and was in power for 10 years and really didn't do or accomplish much, you know, especially for the West, but I think for Canada in general. And part of that, of course, is related to globalism and our sellout to the UN and our ceding our sovereignty to the UN. So, you know, watching that closely for a number of years and trying to understand what the heck's going on in our country.
Hang on a second, Mark. Barry.
Yep.
Yes.
You have some kind of a feedback or something from you.
Feedback?
Yeah, you got your speaker up too high or something?
I can check your end there, bud. Hang on. I can turn them down. Is that better?
I got to wait until Mark says something.
Until I start talking? How's that? Is that better?
Yes.
Sounds like it. I'm not getting anything now.
Is that better? Okay. That's fine. I'll turn it down just a little bit.
Okay. So, well, yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
So, you know, to carry on, you know, once, in fact, when Bernie quit the Conservatives and started his own party, because I'd been checked out of federal politics for a while, I was actually depressed and really upset because I immediately went to the whole narrative of splitting the vote and thought, you know what, that's just going to give Trudeau another 4 years, maybe eight. And so I ended up having a debate with a couple of my friends who were Mac supporters for a long time previously, and they, you know, joined the People's Party immediately. So I got into a debate with them regarding this, and I didn't cave during the debate, but what it did is it allowed me to kind of take stock of my values and what I want in my politicians and what I want for a party and who could I support. So I looked at my values pretty intensely, and I looked at, you know, what values that Bernier was bringing to the table with his platform. And I ended up watching a video of Bernier 2 years prior with Mark Stein. And he had said in about the 2 minute mark of that video that we have to pull Canada out of the UN agreements and all of these pacts and agreements that they've come up with and that we've signed on to. We have to pull out of the gate, regain our sovereignty. And it was like music to my ears. I've waited a very long time to hear a federal politician say that. So I, you know, after doing all that, I just said, you know what, I have no choice but to join the party and to promote a platform that I've also waited my entire voting life to support. So once I did that, it was an easy decision, and of course it's been full steam ahead ever since.
Absolutely. What you're saying, Mark, it resonates with most people that I've talked to. What you're saying is basically I'm hearing from everybody that's getting involved with this party. Yeah. I finally have a voice coming forward that is speaking for Canadian values, is willing to take moves right now to get us out of the United Nations. In my opinion, we should have no involvement. The United Nations should have no involvement in our country right now, but they do.
Right.
And their tentacles are getting bigger and bigger all the time.
Well, and they are.
Yeah, they are.
Well, they are. And the thing is that's why we're seeing, like, we're even seeing Hollywood now promoting the sustainable development agenda through their latest movie, Angry Birds 2. You know, right in the advertisement, it says, you know, act now, United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And so the reason they're doing this, because it used to be framed, you know, when you would talk about Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030, it used to be that you were immediately cast off as a conspiracy theorist or the tinfoil hat wearer or whatever, you name the label. But now all of a sudden, they're promoting the exact thing that people like myself were denouncing years ago. But because nobody understood it, nobody realized what it was, nobody believed it, we were cast off. So now, of course, they've done such a good job of manipulating the narrative to the point, and to instill a lot of the goals already of sustainable development in Canada, which is Agenda 21 and 2030, that they've progressed so far in their agenda that now they have to promote it to make sure that the masses stay on board. Because, you know, everyone says that Trudeau's done us a favor in his last 4 years. And in part he has, because he has woken up a lot of people. But the only reason he's able to do that to the level that he has is because the tentacles have reached us so deeply already. I mean, there's cities across Canada that have bought into this, you know, joining ICLEI and being, you know, one of the smart cities, and councils buying into this whole agenda. I mean, Saskatoon just last week put out a plan, a master plan that they call it, their words, not mine, of $19 billion for a city of under 300,000. It's insanity. But you see, this is the thing. This is the reach that they now have, right? So it's an incredibly enormous agenda. It's incredibly enormous bureaucracy. And it's going to be incredibly hard to turn back the damage that they've done to this point. However, having said that, all we need is a party and a leader that is determined to do that, and all of this goes away, right? And we can have our sovereignty back, and we can create policy in Canada for Canadians, by Canadians, and that's all we want. But it's huge. It's enormous that we do this.
Yeah, well, Mark, I was saying with Dave, I mean, conversations I'm having with people now, you know, I mentioned the People's Party here 6 months ago, and a lot of people hadn't even heard of the party.
Yeah.
But now bring the conversation up with people, and they're actually starting to pay attention to what Maxine is saying. I mean, the more the press pushed back, the more the mainstream tries to quash the information coming forward, yeah. the more, of course, people want to seek it out for themselves. And that's what I see going on. I'm just, I'm really, really hoping that he can get into the national debates. What they've done to this point, absolutely, is beyond a fascist society. When we control who is going to be in a national debate, not allow Canadians to hear another opinion, we're in a fascist society, but we still have the rest of air left. And if he gets into the national debates, Mark, I think you might see something absolutely incredible happen in Canada.
And they know it. You know what, to be honest, I mean, my own personal opinion.
They know it.
My own personal opinion is that I don't think you'll see Max in the debates. I just think they're going to do whatever they can to keep him out of it. So we're going to have to do whatever we can to get that message and get that our voice heard. I mean, I could be wrong, and, you know, maybe he will get in the debate because it's not – we won't know until the 9th, but I'm not confident that that's going to happen. I think the elites, I think the establishment know it to their core that if Bernier gets into the debates and starts talking about these things and flipping it back on them, that, you know, that'll be the end of it. But – so I don't know how that's going to happen if we I mean, it's incredibly important that we do, but we have to be able to respond when we don't.
Well, I'm really hoping that he can get in, Mark, because you're correct. If he does get in, he is going to absolutely sway a lot of people's thinking on a lot of issues. He's the only man that's saying that, and they're terrified of him right now.
Well, I think part of that, too, is not necessarily even sway people's thinking, because if you talk to Joe Schmo, Canadian citizen, and it doesn't matter where you are unless you're in downtown Toronto or Ottawa or Montreal or Vancouver, but if you're talking to Joe Canadian, most of them are all looking around at each other wondering what the hell's going on. So when you talk to them and you tell them and they can articulate what where this is all coming from and why are all these things happening, it's really easy to do, and it's like a light bulb goes off. So they understand that there's something going on. They understand, you know, the carbon tax. They understand the global compact of migration for the most part. They understand, you know, these issues that bike lanes being rammed down our throat in Saskatoon or, you know, losing property rights and all these things. So I think people get on a surface, right? But now they actually have a voice to articulate what they're seeing and what they're feeling. And if that voice is put on a national platform, like a national debate or a couple of the national debates, you're going to see a lot of people jumping on board and understanding that there is that voice for them that they haven't had for so long, right?
Well, let's just hope he can get into the debates because I'm in the opinion, Mark, I don't think I'm being extreme in this thought, but if we get this same kind of government running this country for another 4 years, in 4 years from now, we won't recognize Canada.
Well, and that's just that this...
Our economy, our country is in shambles right now. And that is going to have a real trickle-down effect. It's going to affect everybody in the very future in large ways. A lot of people are saying, hey, everything's fine. Still got my paycheck. Still got my job. Sure, we're paying a little bit more tax now, but I get a rebate from the government, so everything's fine. But it's really going to start impacting people here in the near future.
Well, it is. And the agenda is so far progressed that, you know, they're starting to act on all of these goals. And so... You know, people have to really understand what these goals are. There's 17 goals under Sustainable Development Agenda. Read each one of those goals and interpret them, you know, as originally and originating at a foreign entity that does not have the best interests of Canada at heart, right? And then when you look at those, each one of those goals that they want to meet, and then understand that each one of those goals have targets that they want to meet. There's 169, probably more now, of targets within those goals that they want to meet. And each one of those affects every single Canadian and our way of life. I mean, the whole agenda is United Nations Sustainable Development Agenda, transforming our world. Well, what does that mean? It means they want to transform it from a capitalist society to a socialist society with top-down global governance. That doesn't mean, you know, necessarily, you know, one world government, but that's essentially what global governance is, right? It's just like when they say, you know, all these pacts are non-binding. Well, it doesn't matter if they're non-binding. If the elites in these countries, like ours, have signed on to these agreements, it doesn't need to be binding, right? So it's a play at hand. So, you know, at the end of the day, we have to change, and I've said this for a long time, and I say it now. right now we have to change the argument. We have to change the paradigm from a left-right paradigm to a nationalist versus globalist, or a populist versus globalist paradigm. Because everybody that I know or that I talk to wants policy created in Canada by Canadians for Canadians, right? And right now, all of this policy, everything that's affecting so many different things, pipelines, energy, all of these different things, it all comes from the UN. It's all policy developed by people that don't have our best interest at heart. And it's about the redistribution of wealth on a global scale, and it's about making all countries equal. And that, what does that mean when they say, and one of the goals, I think it's number 14 or 17 or 10, I don't know. Anyways, where it says they want all countries to be equal, and they want all countries to, you know, share in this equality. Well, what does equality mean? That means we in the West, in the Western world, Western civilization, where most of the wealth is, has to give up an incredible amount of that wealth to raise up the rest of the world, not to our level, because we're going to be taken down to a lower level. So we're all going to be, you know, poor. And then how easy is that to control the masses when everyone is poor and dependent on this socialist model? So, I mean, ultimately, that's the goal. And if you look at who's running the UN and who's, you know, coming up with the IPCC and the rest of these agreements and these pacts, they're all socialists. They're all communists. Every last one of them, right? And so that's the agenda. And the elites don't care, because the elites are always protected. When it comes to socialism, especially on a big scale, the elites are always protected, right? They always maintain their standard of living because they're outside of the public sphere. But everybody else, look at Venezuela, completely destroyed, right? Where they should be a wealthy country, and all the people in that country should be living at a reasonable, but nope, they want everybody equal and equally poor. Well, that's the same thing on a global scale. And that's the agenda.
Yep, absolutely. And it's in our faces, folks. I mean,
it is.
If people can't see what's going on, they're just not paying attention, Mark. And what I see going on disturbs me greatly. I'm not a country. I want my country run by an organization that 10 of the top countries are the worst human rights violators in the world.
Exactly.
These people are a complete farce. And, of course, we've got our government implementing it, and it's also being implemented at the municipal level. That anybody doesn't know what municipalities are, they're just an extension of the government.
Yeah.
And they're just doing the bidding. I mean, all mayors are councils of mayors in that particular province. So it's just an extension, and that agenda is being perpetrated locally. You see it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, all you have to do is look to the South. Since Trump came in, of course, he's very much against the UN and against the agenda, and I'm more about America first. But there's so many cities that have already signed on to the agenda that whether or not he, as a leader, is against it, it's still going forward because they've got the tentacles in their regional governments and their municipal governments, right? So it's still being pushed on a local level. So this is, you know, in Canada, things are a little bit different where we can go a little bit more top down, but it's still going to be reaching our municipalities and our provincial governments. And it's not a left or right thing, because, well, ultimately most conservative governments now have moved to the left because the agenda has pulled them to the left.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why we're seeing Scheer, you know, who claims to be a conservative. Well, he's not. None of his policies are conservative. None of his policies that he's created or platform policies, like under the Paris Accord, for example. He wants to meet and exceed Paris Accord targets over and above what the Liberals have already committed to. So, how is that going to benefit Canadians if you elect Scheer over Trudeau? Nothing. Nothing changes. The policies are all the same. They're still elites. They're still Laurentian elites. They've still bought into the agenda. You know, it's funny. Yeah. Sorry?
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just got some feedback there, so I was just wondering.
We're still getting the feedback from you, Barry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to mute out when you're not talking. When I'm not talking, okay, Mark?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, there's really, you know, when people try to make the argument, well, you know, we have to vote Scheer to get Trudeau out. Well, that is just such a surface argument and such a well, I'll say it, ignorant argument, because at the end of the day, if you replace Trudeau with Scheer, you're not changing it. And they know this. The elites know this. I'm convinced that Trudeau knows he's not going to win this election. But the agenda and the UN agenda is so progressed that they don't care. The elites actually don't care. I mean, they're all establishment. They're all elites. And if Scheer gets in, it doesn't matter because the agenda is going to be promoted. Now, they'll call it different things, and they'll try to call it different things to get elected, like he's going to get rid of the carbon tax. But he's already told us in his Enviro plan that he's going to be pricing carbon anyway. He's going to shift it to the big emitters. And what happens when you shift cost onto big emitters? Well, if they're creating anything, which is what they're doing, then those products and services are being bought by the consumer. Well, who's going to pay more? The consumer's going to pay for whatever they're being charged on this carbon price. So it's everything becomes more expensive. And there's a really good video of a senator in the States, actually, that sort of broke down the monetary aspect of all of this climate game and how it works. And where the money and how the money is funneled out of, you know, from carbon pricing, there it goes into a fund, and then the fund gives to the UN, and the UN funds the agenda. Right? It's just this big cyclical game, and so it doesn't matter what you call it. Not only are we going to be paying more for our products and our services through this carbon pricing, but then they pull more money out of our taxes. In subsidies, and now they're going to subsidize these big companies and these big emitters so they can, you know, turn their operation into a green operation with green technology, and we're going to subsidize it all. I mean, all we have to do is look to Southern Saskatchewan with the carbon capture facility. You know, it's a big, big, enormous elephant in the middle of the prairie in Estevan. Simply, they sold it to them because it was the only way that they were allowed to keep their coal plant operating. Because, of course, the coal plant is such a big emitter that they've used $3 billion of Saskatchewan residents' taxes, of all our taxes. They dumped $3 billion into this carbon capture facility and then virtue signal how wonderful they are in you know, having clean emissions. When we're talking about CO2, which isn't even a pollutant, I mean, especially at the levels that we're at globally and especially in Canada. I mean, Canada, if you factor in all the trees we have, you know, we're a carbon negative country. We're actually using more CO2 than we're emitting. Right. And so, but because we're a responsible global partner, we have to do all, you know, make our sacrifices. But at the end of the day, what does that sacrifice look like? It means less money in the hands of taxpayers, of the consumer, of the base of the market. And that's where the money always comes from. Government doesn't create money. The only money government has access to is the people's money. And how are they going to suck as much of that money out of us to fund the agenda? So you can call it conservative, you can call it liberal, it doesn't matter. They're all establishment. They're all doing the same thing. So, you know, what's the answer? Well, the answer is finally we have another option. We have the People's Party and Maxime Bernier that want to get rid of, that don't buy into the coal climate hysteria. CO2 is a pollutant. This whole narrative that they're using. I mean, we've seen in the UN, they post it. I have links that I can show everybody on the UN that says they're using carbon tax and carbon pricing to raise funds to fund the sustainable development agenda. At a cost of $4.5 trillion annually, right? So how are they going to raise that kind of funding to fund this whole socialist agenda? Well, they're going to tax the people, and that's what they're doing. And they've said it very clearly, so it's not like they're even hiding it. Then you have a number of ex-commissioners from the IPCC that stated very clearly, this isn't about climate change. This is about changing the whole economic system on the planet from a capitalist to a socialist system. Well, I believe them. We're watching it firsthand.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking when you really look into it. And then, of course, they're setting us up now to be a cashless society. I think in the next couple of years, you're going to see a really, really, really push towards cashless. I know that India now is, I believe it is 99% biometrics. I know that Sweden says that they're going to be a cashless society within the next 12 months. Mm. And we're seeing that same thing coming forward in governments all over the world right now. That'll be the next step in, of course, completely controlling the masses, because when they control that current society, they've got us under their thumbs in ways that people can't even imagine.
And right. Then you're completely dependent.
They're going to know
when you're dependent on the banks.
Yeah, they're going to know you use toilet and how many pieces of toilet paper you use, and if you paid your taxes on that toilet paper. That's where we're going. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it. And
use too many. Oh, man, oh, man. It was a bad day. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's it, though. But, I mean, how do you control the masses? You control their money. And, you know, if you don't have cash on hand, then you're completely dependent on the bank that has your money. And, you know, I mean, we all know what they can do with whatever they can do whatever they want, right? And if you're not playing ball, well, you won't have access to that money, and you've given up your sovereignty to the banks. It's all part and parcel.
Yeah, we see that coming, and, you know, the RFID, you know, it's being popularized as a new thing to do. You see companies that are giving employees actually bonuses to put the chip in their arm and use it for a while and see how they like it and blah, 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 and we slowly see that coming forward.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's all part of an agenda that's being played out. It's all part of the puzzle. It really is. Hey, that's a good name for a radio show. That's what it is, Mark. You know, everything we see working against us, it doesn't matter what we look at in society right now. I don't see anything in any shape or form. And we could talk about the medical profession. We could talk about Big Pharma. We could talk about any aspect of government. I don't see anything beneficial coming forward for the people. Period.
No, absolutely not.
Or that is all part of an agenda. When you get society to a point we are now, where Canada and North America, and I say this to people and they go, what? But, you know, in 1970, Mark, we were the healthiest countries in the world, bar none.
Right.
There was no nations on the planet that were healthier than Canada and the United States in 1970. And here we are in 2018, the reports we read last year is that we're now the sickest nations in the world. Mm. But people don't understand this. They don't understand the change and what that does to the human body. When you're worried about getting sick and getting your next prescription and what's going to hit you next, it's really hard to sit and look at the enemy. And it's just another part of what they've done to society to get us to where we are today. I see Canadians, a lot of them are just absolutely spineless, brain-controlled people.
Yeah.
And we've got to wake them up, bud. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's but, you know, it's not an easy feat because, first of all, our education system is indoctrinating our youth, right? So they come out of school, whether high school or university, and they're indoctrinated to the narrative. And they take that message home, and they indoctrinate the parents, and their parents are on board because they want to be good parents, and they want to be seen like the Joneses, so we're doing our part, blah, 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 right? So it's all part of the same line of indoctrination. And the media, of course, is parroting everything that they want to achieve. You know, they use or shame, and they use labels, and they use all these things that prevent people from talking or questioning or... I mean, there's even a movement, you know, anybody who denies climate change, you know, should be charged and should be put in prison. Like David Suzuki says, we should be put in prison.
What a joke.
Right? And that's just for denouncing the climate change hysteria with actual science, with people that understand what's happening on a, you know, scientific level, on a physics level, on a, you know, whatever kind of science they do, they understand it, and they're saying, listen, this is all a big farce, it's all a big scam, and you say that, and now we have the opposition saying we should be put in jail for that. What?
I shouldn't laugh. It's a serious issue, but it's...
Well, that's just it, right? And it sounds so crazy that it's funny and we can't help but laugh, but we really shouldn't be laughing because that's where we're headed, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I've looked into climate change a lot in the last 3 years, and I'm not an expert on anything, but I've listened to a lot of people that are in the know, and I'm great in what you just said, Mark. It's the biggest scam being played out on the human race right now. If you look at the last 100,000 years of history of climate on the planet, you'll see that the planet's gone through catastrophic climate changes.
Right.
What brought on the ice age, man? Why was the planet covered in ice? Why did it go through periods of intense heat? that people were restricted where they could live. All that's happened in the history of the planet, but now is being perpetrated as human caused. Well,
right.
And in Canada, too, Mark, what a joke. We're paying a carbon tax, yet we absorb more carbon than we produce.
Yeah, exactly.
Due to the force we have in this great country of ours. You know, we're producing 1.3% of the carbon on the planet. But you don't see China. You don't see China, who produces about 27% of the carbon on the planet, doing anything about their carbon situation. And any of those other countries, they're not doing nothing about it. But here we are in Canada, we're producing 1.3. We absorb more than we produce, and we're taking it up the butt. Go ahead. Mm.
Yeah, no, and that's it. Well, that's exactly what, you know, they say 1.3, 1.6, 1.7, you know, emissions globally. But that's before we calculate. It's before anybody even calculates our trees, right? And our trees, just our trees alone, make us a CO2 negative in Canada. So by using their logic, then all of these other countries that have signed on to the Paris Accord should be paying us, right? I mean, if we want to look at it using their logic, it's ridiculous. But if that's going to work, and if this whole thing works, then they should be paying us, because we're so, what a wonderful country we have. We use so much CO2. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But yet, you know, when you go knock on doors, people's houses, and they have, you know, kids that are in school or coming out of school, you know, what's the number one issue? Well, climate change. Okay, well, why? What have you seen that indicates that we're, you know, in some sort of catastrophic climate change event? And they can't answer, and they won't answer, because they have no idea. But it's just the message that's been, and I got to give the left credit. They've done a phenomenal job of getting their message out and indoctrinating people into this scam. But it's just like you said, I mean, climate change, the day that climate doesn't change on the planet is the day you kiss your ass goodbye, right? Because if it doesn't change, something's very, very wrong. Because it's always changed, and it always will change. Now, if we want to invest in something that's important when it comes to climate change, hey, invest in adapting to climate change, right?
Absolutely.
Let's do that. And there'll be a market for it. Not a manufactured or an artificial market, but an actual market, because people do want to be able to adapt to the climate changing, because that's what Mother Earth does, you know?
Absolutely. One of the platforms for PPC, I was reading, is they want to take money that would normally be taxed to big corporations and let the corporations use that to develop clean energy for their businesses.
Right. Of course. Fantastic.
Yeah. You know, that makes sense. You're taking the money away from the government coffers, you're going to give it away to some foreign country to build sidewalks, yeah, and actually getting it reinvested in Canadian companies.
Right.
And everything, I mean, that alone to me makes absolutely, that's a no-brainer. I mean,
right.
Bill C-69, they're basically shutting down pipelines in this country. Mm. And we're importing how many billions of dollars of Saudi Arabian oil into this country, supporting an economy of a country that is the worst perpetrator of human rights violations in the world. Yeah. And we're buying their oil when we have more oil in Canada than we need. It's being shut down by the government. Why? Why?
and one of the wealthiest countries in the Middle East, if not on the planet, right? And we're sending them money, and we're investing in their military, and it's such insanity. But so this will kind of lead into the next part of the whole equation, right? Which is Islamism, and how that runs part and parcel with globalism. And yep. I mean, Tom Quiggin likes to refer to it as the Red-Green Alliance, right? So you have the red, the communists, and the green, the Islamists, and they're working together because they ultimately have that same authoritarian, totalitarian, you know, ideation, right?
Right.
And so they're both using each other like they have historically, just like in Iran in 1979 at the Islamic Revolution. They used the left to create this revolution, and once they took power, that was it. And they slaughtered the left. They slaughtered the people that they used to create the revolution and shut them all up, right? Or bury them, or cut their head off, or whatever. So when we look at globalism, and we look at this Red-Green Alliance and how the two are connected, they're very connected. I mean, first of all, you have to look at the UN. You have to look at who makes up the UN. Well, it's 195 countries. Okay, great. Yeah, we're all this great community of countries on the planet. We all agree, and we all want to save the planet. Yay, 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 planet Earth. But if you really look at that, who's creating these policies, who has influence at the UN level, when you're sitting around in that big room at the UN and you start looking at voting blocks, right? You have voting blocks in the UN. So one voting block, the biggest voting block, is called NAM, the Non-Aligned Movement. Now, that originally was a bunch of countries that came together who didn't align with either, you know, communism coming out of Russia or with the Western civilization, freedom and democracy and that sort of thing. So none of those countries, 125 of them, aligned with either one. So they were like Switzerland at the UN, right? Which, whatever, it is what it is. However, after the fall of communism and the fall of the wall and this whole agenda from Leninism and Marxism ultimately. So once we've seen that fall, NAM still remained a voting bloc, and it still is a voting bloc, and it's 125 countries of the 195 that make up the UN, none of which are Western nations, not one. Okay, so then you have this group. Within that group, you have another 56 plus one, all of the Islamic countries, every last one of them, because they all have the same agenda, and that's called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Now, this group states very clearly their motto, in fact, is to ensure that the Muslim world and their best interests are taken care of in the name of peace, right, blah, blah, blah. But so you have this group of Islamic countries, 56 plus one, that run and have all the power in that bigger group of 125 in the entirety of the UN, which is 195. So who has all the power? Who has all the influence? Who makes these decisions? And this creates this agenda against the West to suck all the money out of the West. Well, they do, right? And so when you look at that group of 56 plus one Islamic countries, who has the power there, right? And then you get into the Muslim Brotherhood, and then you start to understand who has the power in the Islamic world. Well, right now the Muslim Brotherhood has the power in the Islamic world. So they are running the agenda. They are running the agenda through the OIC, in turn through NAM, and then, of course, in the bigger picture, the United Nations, which is exactly why and explains why we see Saudi Arabia heading up the Human Rights Tribunal or Human Rights Commission. And then we see Iran heading up female rights or women's rights group at the UN. Like, it's completely laughable. But it's also extremely serious. When you see all of these countries who are running these commissions, you start to really understand, well, how is that possible? Well, it's possible because all the influence is coming from the same Muslim Brotherhood who's got all the power at the UN. And we have our country who shows up there, and we've been begging for years for a Security Council seat. And so we have to sell our soul to get that. And that's only one aspect. So when you have a country like ours who signed on to this sustainable development agenda, and we're talking about an agenda that was developed back in 1972 and has developed and evolved to the point it is now, well, that's been developed by socialists. It's been developed by hardcore globalist socialists. Well, who is the best group of people to align with that socialist ideation than Islamists, right? Because Islamists and them both share the same ideation of authoritarian, totalitarian rule. And so it's another marriage of the evil, and that's who we're dealing with. And this is who we're talking about. So when, you know, on a country by country level, we've watched Europe, we've watched the influence of Islamism throughout Europe in European countries. Finally, those countries and the people in them are starting to wake up and understand that they've ceded their sovereignty and they want it back, which is why we see, you know, Austria, Hungary, Italy, Iceland to a lesser degree. But these countries are fighting back and they're saying, you know what, enough. Poland, there's another one. So you can go through these and see why they're being elected. And that's the same thing we're seeing here. And then you go to Trump, and that's why Trump was elected, because enough people woke up and they said they want their country back. And then now you see Brexit, who enough people woke up and finally said they want their country back. So it's happening, and that's why it's happening. But if we watch the progression of through immigration and through migration and the flooding of Muslims, and so when we talk about Islamism, we have to talk about Muslims, right? Of course. The two are very distinct, but when you have a group of Islamists whose ideation and ultimate goal is supremacy, they want supremacy, political supremacy wherever they go. They want to conquer the planet ultimately so they can have a world caliphate, right? This is their agenda. They're very clear. They've stated it openly. So when and so they use, of course, they use Muslims to do that. And through immigration, through migration, through refugees, they are infiltrating throughout Europe. We've seen it. We know it. We see it's happening. We can't deny it. What a great way, what a great opportunity to use their people to promote the ideation of supremacy. Now, does that mean all Muslims are Islamists? No, but all Islamists are Muslim, right? And so we have to be, we have to make that distinction, because in a country like Canada, we have a lot of Muslims who fled oppression, who fled the totalitarian state, who fled to Canada for freedom, for justice, for equality, for everything that makes Canada great. That's what they came to. So we have to understand that not all Muslims are Islamist. It's the Islamists that are using Muslims right here in Canada to promote their ideation of supremacy. And how do they do that? Well, they don't do it through terrorism. Terrorism is a byproduct of Islamism. Islamism is political. They want to gain power through politics. Now, if they can't gain that power through politics, through abusing our rights and the charter and our constitution, if they can't use it that way, then they'll revert or resort to violence. But right now we're at that political stage, and they're using our charter and our freedoms and our constitution against us, because of course they always claim that it's freedom of religion. But we also have something that's incredibly important that our establishment is trying to bust down, which is freedom of expression. Now, we don't have freedom of speech per se, but we have freedom of expression, which is extremely important when we're talking about globalism and Islamism, because if we can't speak out against political Islam, for instance, the Islamic Party of Ontario, if we can't speak out against the Islamic Party of Ontario because we're going to be labeled or slammed or sued because we're denouncing political Islam, well, we've lost. We have complete, and they know this. This is a game they've been playing for a long time. And so if we don't wake up to it and be able and hold our freedom of expression dear and actually add protections to our freedom of speech, then we're done. And this is why freedom of speech is such an important part of this whole equation. M103 is a perfect example of them creeping, right? Well, it's not law. It's not a bill. It's just a motion. Well, what does that motion turn into? That motion turns into law. And at some point, somebody will put forward a law that bans anybody from denouncing political Islam or denouncing the ideation of Islamists and Islamic supremacy, because you'll be deemed a racist. The law will be in their favor. I mean, the law is already in their favor when we're talking about Islamism and Islamophobia. I mean, they use it. It's called lawfare. There's over 100 cases in Ontario right now where Islamists are suing individuals like Tom Quiggin and others. When they denounce this, they sue them knowing that they'll never go to court. So they force these people, you know, to fund their defense that they can't afford, so they need to have donations to fund, so they defend themselves right up until when the court date's going to happen. Then they pull out, then they withdraw their claim, right? And this is, there's over 100 cases like this, because that's, they're using our system against us. It's called lawfare. So anyone that tells me it's not here and it doesn't affect Canada is sleeping. They're very ignorant, and I, you know, on some level, I don't blame people, because they don't understand. They don't realize the danger. They don't realize the risk that they're putting on us. But so right now, finally, there's a political party, the People's Party, that allows candidates like myself and others to have this discussion to ensure that we can try to educate as many people as possible and inform them as to what the hell's going on and what they're using against us, how Islamism is connected to globalism, and how it's all part of this big agenda, right? And so when you connect all those dots, it becomes pretty prevalent and pretty obvious as to what is happening.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I said in the first hour that's really attracted me to this part is the people that are getting involved and the level of intelligence of the people that are getting involved. People like yourself, Mark. I see it all through the party that we're seeing true patriots step forward and do things that they never thought they'd do in their lives, like get involved in a political party, but they're all there for the exact same reason. And everything you just said, you know, I appreciate you sharing that information. It's a pleasure to get somebody in that we can articulate on that, because I've looked at it all myself. I understand it. But to bring it forth like you did, I can't do that. So thanks for...
Well, you know, and it's an issue that really deserves and really needs to have, you know, distinction and nuance. And, like, you know, a lot of people like to just go to the common denominator of any argument and so blame the whole issue on Muslims, for instance. Well, you can't do that because you have to make the distinction between a Muslim, between Islam, between Islamism, and between terrorism, right? So I see four distinct pieces to that puzzle. Now, I judge everybody by the person, by the individual. I judge them on the content of their character. I don't care what skin color they are. I don't care what religion they are. I don't care about any of that. That's all just identity politics. I don't play that game. I judge people by the person, right? And so that's how I see individual Muslims. I'll judge you and how you treat me and what you do. And if you're imposing any of your beliefs on anybody else, I'll judge you on that. But on a mass, you know, I judge all Muslims? No, because there is a difference between Muslims and Islamists. So then you go to the next thing, the religion of Islam. Well, I have some serious concerns about that religion. I'm very critical about Islam. I'm also very critical of Christianity. I'm very critical of Catholicism. I'm very critical of Judaism. I'm critical of all religions. Any religions that encourage or impose, you know, rules or laws on free people, I have a problem with. It just so happens that Islam seems to have more of that than any other religion, partly because Christianity went through Reformation and, you know, the whole basis of Western civilization is based on Christianity and Christian values, even though I'm against formal religion or organized religion, I still believe that Western civilization is the best civilization the planet has ever seen. And that is the basis for our freedom and our liberty and our justice and our equality and all of these things. So, but I can still be critical of that religion, just like I can still be critical of Islam. And I will be critical of the religion of Islam because it does have a pervasive element to it. It does have and promote a lot of violence and oppression and all of these things that goes against our culture in Canada. So then that's okay. But I have freedom of expression. I have freedom of speech, limited, but I have freedom of speech where I can denounce a set of bad ideas, whether it's Islam or Christianity. So then we move from that to the Islamists, which I think is the most important or most dangerous element of this whole matrix is Islamism. I think Islamism is far more dangerous than terrorism. Terrorism, of course, is a tool that the Islamists use to promote their ideation of supremacy, but it's Islamism is the root of all the problem that I have with this whole ideation. It's a bunch of political Islamists that are using their religion and using the people of the religion to forward their ideal of supremacy. And so terrorism, of course we denounce terrorism, it's a horrible thing, but on the balance of probabilities, terrorism, of course, it's dangerous to the people that are getting blown up. It usually kills them. But in the big picture, Islamism is far more dangerous because Islamism uses terrorism when it's needed to, you know, promote their agenda. But ultimately, the agenda is based in Islamism. And it's not based in Islam and it's not based on Muslims. It's based on Islamism. So they use the religion, of course, to promote this ideation of supremacy. So we have to be able to make those distinctions, because I do know a lot of Muslim people. Salim Mansour is a great example. I mean, he's a wealth of knowledge. He's a professor. He's, you know, an incredible reformer. He's an apostate, according to a lot of other Muslims. He was kicked out of his mosque because he stands for Western civilization and our values. He stands for freedom. He stands for freedom of speech. He stands up to these things, even though he's a Muslim, right? And so there's lots of people like him that we can't lump the whole ball of wax into this, you know, into all Muslims are Islamist or it's Islam that's creating this. It's not, it's part of the picture. It's part of the equation, but it's not the whole equation. You know, it's just like, if Christians were going around trying to conquer the world, they would use the Bible to do that politically, right? They would quote verses from the Bible and they would do that. Well, okay, so they kind of did that with the Crusades back in the day. Now, of course, you know, the argument too is that the Crusades were created and started to fight back the horde of Islam, and most of that's true. But they still used the Bible to, you know, allow them to do all the things that the nasty things that they had to do, including the Inquisition, right? So, I mean, it's basically the power group or the leadership of these, you know, supremacists that use the religious doctrine to promote their ideology. And then ultimately the people that follow the doctrine, they use them too. So I want to say to any Muslims, I'm here to fight for your rights. I'm here to fight for our shared values, which is if your values are freedom and liberty and justice and equality and compassion and tolerance and all these things, fantastic. I'm here fighting that battle for you and with you if you want to join, like Salim Mansour and Tahir Ghora and other Muslims in the PPC. Fantastic men. I mean, they're extremely brave, braver than I am, because I'm, you know, in my home country at least. They're here fighting the same things, you know, in the same cases as where they came from, and that same oppression, but they're doing it in Canada. They never thought they'd have to do that in Canada. That's why they came here in the first place, to get away from it. And so they're incredibly brave, like Iman, one godless woman, and Sandra Solomon and these other women. I mean, they're extremely courageous to do what they're doing.
Sandra's also a very, very staunch Christian. I'm a Christian myself, Mark. And yep. My does not tell me to go out and cut the heads off the infidels. It doesn't tell me to take homosexuals and throw them off a balcony.
Right.
It's telling me to dominate this planet, that my doctrine that I follow in my book teaches me love. And we're all entitled to our opinions, but that's what I don't share with you as far as how Christianity has been manipulated, because we know that it has been. We look at the Catholic Church, who invaded the Catholic Church, how the Jesuits took over the Catholic Church in the 17th century, and what the Catholic Church actually represents. And if you don't see the Luciferian symbols inside the Catholic Church, you are not, you have your head in the sand.
Right.
And then we look at the Pope and what he has brought forward here in the last couple of years, how he has turned the Catholic Church upside down. We look at all these different entities and how it plays out and what I follow. And to me, buddy, it's like reading the newspaper, what I see unfolding. But we didn't get into this for a political or a religious conversation.
But it is part of the conversation,
Mark, and these are hard conversations to have. Conversations that we're having today are very, very hard for people to get involved in, because they're all inside the matrix. They're still inside the bubble, and they still think that things are going to work themselves out. But we're not at that point in history right now. We're in a very critical time in history right now, where we see this coming forward. If it doesn't get stopped, it's going to run us over. And that time is coming very soon. So for me, what I see in the PPC party is people with good moral standings, with real integrity. And I talk about people like Laura Lynn Thompson. I talk about guys like Frank Vaughn, who I have such a great deal of respect for. Other members in the party that I've had a conversation with, I'm impressed with their moral standards in life. And to me right now, that is what this country needs. We need to get to what you said, Mark. Judeo-Christian values made this country what it was, made it great, and now we're completely going away from that. So that's all part of the big picture in my world.
Yep. I agree 100%. And, you know, when you talk about the personnel or the people involved in the PPC, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the argument comes from conservatives as, well, it's Max, it's one-man party, it's his agenda. This party is so much bigger than Max Bernier. As much as I like Max as a leader, I think he's doing a fine job as a leader. He's doing a fine job as a leader because he came to the table with core values that attracted the rest of people like myself and Laura Lynn and Frank and David Haskell and all these other people. So it's made it attractive to us. Because I finally have a party or an option to join a party that gives me the freedom to have the discussion that me and you are having today. Find me a conservative MP or candidate in Canada that would sit on a show like this and have the discussion that we just had. It absolutely won't happen. Whether it doesn't matter if you're CPC or Liberal or NDP or Green or what, it just simply wouldn't happen.
Exactly. You never hear them touching on issues that we're talking about right now, because that's a no-no. But you know, anytime that you control the media in a society, you control that society, and that's one of the biggest problems we have in Canada right now.
Yep.
Of course, all controls, And it's more important, like I said earlier, guys, cut the TV cable and start looking to alternative information sources, and you'll find out what's really going on in this country. And boy, if it doesn't shake you up and get you mad, get your blood boiling to a point where you've got no blood left, I don't know what to say to you. Because we are in a lot of trouble, guys.
No, I agree.
We have a platform. We have a gentleman that's come forward who, myself, like I said, I talked to him. I had a half-hour conversation with Max. I know you've met him face-to-face. I'm looking forward to that. And I feel that the man's in it for all the right reasons. So for that, it's a pleasure having you on today and sharing some of the information that you wanted to share.
Yeah, I appreciate it, too. Like I said, I take advantage of any opportunity I'm given, any platform, because it's we have to get the message out. We have to educate Canadians. We have to, you know, get people to the voting booth with as an informed voter. And the only way to do that is to get out there and get on these platforms. So I appreciate that.
Okay, well, it's been very one of the last couple minutes here there. Mark, would you like to share any information with the listeners where they can find you? Or
yeah, I mean, if they're, you know, my focus here on in, of course, you know, my reach is through social media, YouTube, of course, and Facebook and Twitter. And so my reach is sort of on a national level, but I really want to focus a lot of my information, what I'm doing now, in my writing. So, you know, I can make sure that people here locally are informed as well. You know, I'm trying to get that focus here on a local level. So, I mean, anybody that's listening, if you're in the Saskatoon-Grassville area or you're in Saskatoon or you have friends and family in Saskatoon, you know, send them to my YouTube. It's Mark Friesen PPC. Same as Facebook, Mark Friesen PPC. You'll find me on Twitter. Just type in that. And, I have a website, of course, markfriesen.ca, which has a lot of information, a lot of the same information that crosses all these platforms. So, that's how you can find me. And by all means, share this information and the information that I'm sharing and others with your family and friends, especially if they live in Saskatoon, because we got to get the information out locally too.
Well, Mark, thanks for joining me today, buddy. Pleasure.
Hey.
Pleasure.
I appreciate the time.
I see this party now growing into a wave that's going to roll over top of all these corrupt people. So,
well, you know what? At the end of the day, my last comment will be, if we can inform Canadians and educate Canadians to what's happening and why it's happening, like the information we spoke of today, if everyone went to the voting booth with that information in mind, the PPC wins in a landslide on October 21st.
Hey, guys. Well, thanks, Mark, and thanks to Dave for joining me. It's been a pleasure. I'll be back next week. I got Billy Joyce going to be co-hosting my show for 2 hours next week.
Oh, cool.
And I have two PPC candidates I'm going to be interviewing, and I'll announce them later this week, guys.
Awesome.
So, thanks for joining me again today, guys. It's been a pleasure. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. God bless you all, and have a great week. And thanks to Steve for producing my clothes. Without Steve, I'd be lost. So, big, big shout out to Steve for what he's doing for me over the last couple of years and putting up with Barry. Have a great day, guys.